The word of God given to us today is Psalms chapter 119, verses 105 to 112. Please turn to page 894 of the Old Testament. It's Psalms 119, verses 105 to 112. Allow me to read the words of God. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it, that I will follow your righteous laws. I have suffered much. Preserve my life, Lord, according to your word. Accept, Lord, the willing praise of my mouth, and teach me your laws. Though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. The wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts. Your statutes are my heritage forever, and they are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. Amen. Whether it be humans, objects, or ambiguous things, one expresses their thoughts based on their own knowledge, experience, and emotions. That thought and expression may vary by each individual, but the right kind of knowledge and understanding is key when making evaluations of something. 2,000 years ago, people had mixed reactions to Jesus. Some would refer to him as the one who is blasphemous or the lawbreaker, whereas others considered him to be Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, or the law fulfiller. Those who believed that Jesus was one who was blasphemous or a lawbreaker did not have the right kind of knowledge nor experienced Jesus on a personal level. On the other hand, those who believed that Jesus was the Christ, the only Son of God, or the law fulfiller, owned the right type of knowledge and met Jesus on a very intimate level. Experiencing Jesus on a personal level, oddly enough, can be fulfilled on a spiritual level. But we need to be granted with God's blessing in the form of the Holy Spirit's guide and faith until we get to truly experience God and own the right kind of knowledge. The right type of thinking towards God's nature also stems from experience and faith. One of them that everyone knows is definitely love. The nature of love is also inherent in humankind. That is why we refer to God's love that was granted upon us as shared nature. Now let me ask you a very typical question. What would you say when I ask, what is love? The definition of love is as many as the number of people that exist. The reason is that love is so mysterious that everyone has experienced love in all kinds of different forms. A few days ago while driving, I came across an old pop song from a Christian radio channel. I couldn't really understand the lyrics in full, but it had a very somber tune. It was raining on that day, so hence the sad song. But it was definitely a tearjerker that conveyed so much sadness. I checked the title of the song afterwards. The song was released in 1977 from a British singer called Bonnie Tyler. The title was It's a Heartache. The following is a short translated excerpt of the song. It's a heartache, nothing but a heartache. Hits you when it's too late. hits you when you're down. The rest of the lyrics allude to the pains of a woman whose heart was broken after breaking up with a man she dearly loved. While very short, the phrase "it's a heartache" conveys love and a whole life story of an individual. Likewise, in the Bible, there are a lot of short phrases that expresses love, but the short length actually belies a deeper meaning. Case in point are the phrases found in Corinthians chapter 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. And love does not boast. Now, dear congregation, if you were to all express your own thoughts about love, then you will probably quote directly from the Bible or come up with your own unique phrase conveying your own personal experience. As various as the thoughts toward love can be, one's thoughts towards God's message, which are the passageways of God's love, may also vary. What are your own thoughts towards God's words? How would you capture your own life story in your own language? The poet who wrote Psalms 119 expressed his own life experiences of God's words in the form of a poem. Psalms 119 includes sentences in the cadence of A is B, such as love is kind. Verse 24, your statutes are my delight, they are my counselors. The first part of verse 50, my comfort in my suffering is this. And also, the following verses do not strictly follow the aforementioned cadence, but allow me to paraphrase it a little to follow the same pattern. Verse 1 and 2. God's word is a blessing. Verse 49. God's word is hope. Verse 98 and 99. God's word is wisdom and insight. Verse 103. God's word is hope. And the most common expressions of God's words, which are mentioned indirectly in Psalms 119, is that God's word is life. The poet's confessions towards God's word is also testified in today's scripture. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. Why did the poet confess that God's word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path? Before answering this question, we need to first understand the actual meaning of the word lamp. The term lamp in this phrase is quite different from the Hebrew words such as esh or lapid, which are translated as fire or torchlight, respectively. In Genesis chapter 15, when God makes a promise to Abraham, a burning torchlight is mentioned. This torchlight was used in the ancient days to light up the darkness outside. This is the very torchlight that Gideon and his 300 soldiers used at night in the book of Judges. In order to light the rough and bumpy road ahead at night, it must have been better to use the torchlight rather than a lamp. Nevertheless, why would the poet say lamp? The Hebrew word for the word lamp is ner. This word was used to refer to the lamps in the sanctuary in the five books of Moses and the Old Testament. The lamps in the sanctuary are the holy lamps. Holiness means being differentiated from the earthly things. The lamp of the Word is what differentiates us from the darkness of the world. But when the poet said, "Your word is a lamp for my feet," did he literally mean that the lamp is for his feet only? In other words, does the lamp only serve as a tool to lighten the poet's path on the way to his destination? Not quite so. The word of the lamp exists not so that it lightens up the path of a man, but to lighten up the pathway so that men can also walk in the way of God. What about ourselves? Do we not hope that the lamp of the Word works like a panacea no matter where I go or what I do? The lamp of the Word is not some dispensable tool that lights up the path forward. The lamp of the Word is the lamp of life, which lights up the path that God wants to guide us towards. And we need to walk in that way. The path that is lighted by the lamp of the Word is the path that God wants us to walk in. We often pray like the following: Dear Father God, I will walk in the way of God, and let us know the way. However, in reality, we complain to God like the following: God, why won't you light up the way that I want to walk in? The word feet in "Your word is a lamp for my feet" means behavior. Now, typically, an individual's behavior is an accumulation of his or her knowledge and experience. If that accumulation of knowledge and experience is disproportionately affected by the worldly values, then that person is walking in the way towards darkness. What about ourselves? Our behaviors depend on whether we rely on materialistic knowledge and experience, or whether we truly walk in the way of God, lighted by the lamp of the Word. Every action we take must become the guiding footsteps on the path of God's way, lighted by the lamp of the Word. And in order to walk in such footsteps, we need to make sure to always light the lamp of the Word. The lamp of a sanctuary lights up the whole sanctuary. Exodus chapter 27, verse 21 testifies that the lamp of the Word should be on at all times, from dinner to the next morning. So in essence, the lamp of the sanctuary lightens up the whole place after sunset when the sunlight is gone. And this light should not be put out for even a single day. Likewise, the lamp of the Word should not be switched off for even a single day. Only when the lamp of the Word is on at all times are we able to walk in the way of God, which is the only way that we need to follow. Then how can we ensure that the lamp of the Word is not turned off? We need to meditate on God's words every single day. Not meditating means that we stop fueling the lamp's fire. In order to keep the sanctuary lamp burning, the fire needs to continuously be refueled. As such, the lamp of the Word needs to continuously be refueled with God's words. Under the divided monarchy era of Israel, in South Judah, when Jehoash was born into the royal family of King David, there was a huge massacre. When Jehoash's father, the sixth king Ahaziah, died, Adaliah, the grandmother, ordered the massacre of the royal family of King David. After Adaliah executed all possible claimants to the throne, she herself became the seventh ruler of Judah. However, there, a son has solely survived from the huge massacre and execution. This boy's name was Jehoash, the son of Ahaziah and the sixth king of Judah. The person who rescued and hid Jehoash was Ahaziah's sister, Jehoshaphat. She was then married to the high priest Jehoiada. She hid Jehoash for 6 years. As the wife of a high priest and paternal aunt, just imagine how Jehoshaphat would have raised Jehoash with her husband under the strict teachings of the Word of God. After 6 years, the right time came, and God granted courage upon Jehoiada, who had Jehoash crowned, handed him the book of the law in his hand, and anointed him as the king. Athaliah was dethroned, and her sins were met only with death. Jehoash was only 7 when he became the king. And he reigned over Judah for the next 40 years. But the first and the latter parts of Jehoash's life was completely different. This inflection point actually correlates with the high priest Jehoiada's lifespan. Jehoash was raised in the hands of his aunt as an infant. After he became king, under the tutelage of his paternal uncle and high priest Jehoiada, Jehoash was supplied with God's words constantly and walked in the way of God. During these years, Jehoash's life seemed very peaceful. 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 2 testifies, Jehoash did what was right in the eyes of the Lord all the years of Jehoiada the priest. So during the days when Jehoiada was alive, Jehoash was continuously supplied with the oil and fuel, which was the word, and walked on the right path of God. He acted in honesty at all times. Acting in honesty means he walked the good way, which was lighted only by the word of God. However, after Jehoiada died, Jehoash was no longer walked the way that God had wanted him to. This was because the high priest Jehoiada, who was the sole supplier of the fuel to the lamp of the word, had died. So without the supply of God's word, Jehoash became dominated by materialistic values. After the death of Jehoiada, the officials of Judah came and changed the direction of the path. Although the Lord had sent prophets to the people to bring Jehoash back to the good way, Jehoash could not come back and continued to walk the way of darkness. At the end of the day, he died a tragic death and could not even be buried in the tombs of the kings. As can be seen, if one is not supplied with God's words and the lamp of the word is unfueled, one is dropped and trapped into darkness. When we are supplied with God's words, we need not to be dependent on other men like Jehoash did, but to always keep near to God's words and be supplied with it. The reason why we need this lamp of the word is because there is darkness in this world. To Joash, the officials of Judah were the darkness themselves. Now, what is the modern-day counterpart to Judah's officials? Darkness means anything that is under the power of Satan. Acts chapter 26, which testifies the account of Apostle Paul meeting Jesus, he confesses that God had turned them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Also, through the book of Colossians, Paul testifies that the kingdom of God was under the dominion of darkness. Anywhere where God does not reign is under the dominion of Satan's power. We do not really appreciate the importance of light these days due to electricity. Once you turn on a switch, you instantly get flooded with light, so one doesn't really understand the inconveniences of darkness. Also, Korea does not experience blackouts often. I believe only a few households keep candles or flashlights in their houses in case of blackouts. In order to light up the darkness, we can just easily and simply turn on the flashlight of our smartphones. However, back in the days when lamps were not so easily available, that lamp was a necessity for survival. Even as we speak, light is a necessity to the survival of mankind. And this rings true for all our spiritual survival as well. What does it mean to say that God's word is the light on my path? This is not different from saying that God's word is a lamp for my feet. The Hebrew word for light, which is or, refers to light in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, which testifies, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." This light is the very light that emanated from the pillar of fire that guided the Israelites in the desert on their exodus from Egypt. Jesus says, "Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light." During nighttime, that light is not existent, so they falter. What is the meaning of this world's light? It is Jesus himself. It is Jesus who is the light of this world that is dominated in darkness. The prophecy of the prophet Isaiah was fulfilled. Matthew chapter 4, verse 16 testifies, "The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." Those who walk in the way of God's light do not fall to the shadows of darkness. They do not falter. Jesus now sits on the right hand of God, but the light of the Word still shines towards us. The light of God, which is essentially the Word, shines the way that a Christian should walk towards. This is the illumination of the Holy Spirit. Illumination means to shine light upon something. The Holy Spirit's illumination may mean that the Holy Spirit shines light upon the path that Christians need to walk in. But if we delve deeper into the meaning, it means that the Holy Spirit guides us to interpret God's words correctly and to put them into action in the right way when we read and meditate His words. When we read the Bible, which is a recollection of God's words, if we simply deem the Bible as the book of law, book of history, book of poetry, or the book of wisdom, then we cannot understand God's revelations or truly believe it in faith. While the Bible itself was written in the past, the Holy Spirit guides us so that the words transcend time and place, so that it could be reinterpreted and applied in our lives in the right way. This is the Holy Spirit's illumination. Essentially, the illumination of the Holy Spirit is like the light of the Word shining upon us. If we want to walk in the way of the God, then we have to turn our feet towards the path illuminated by the Holy Spirit, which is the light of the Word. Today is Pentecost Sunday, which is 7 weeks from the Easter Sunday on April 4th. Including the Easter Sunday, the 50th day is always the Pentecost Sunday. 2,000 years ago, on the 50th day after the Passover, which is the Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down to those congregated in the cenacle, or the room of the Last Supper, and illuminates the path that even today's Christians need to walk in with the light of the Word. With the reign of the Holy Spirit, we are able to live in the blessed era, to live according to the Word. So how should we, as those who are blessed with the Holy Spirit's illumination, live? We need to take on the mission of illuminating the darkness with this light of the Word. God told us that He is the light of the world, but at the same time also said to His disciples that you are the light of the world. Those who are blessed with God's light of the Word is the light, just like God. If we were blessed with this light, then we also need to have the responsibility to shine this light upon those in darkness. That is our mission as Christians. Those who have experienced the blessing of the Holy Spirit's light need to preach that light and light the path to others. The light of the Word needs to be shined upon those living in the darkness so that they are brought back to the way of life. After Adam, men are constantly fighting the holy spiritual war with the power of the darkness. In the most subtle ways, Satan tries to trap us in darkness. Just like how Satan sent the officials of Judah to Jehoash, regardless of the time, Satan tempts us to part ways with God's words by instilling materialistic values in us. Therefore, we need to be awake and pinpoint what is actually behind the power of darkness and walk in the way illuminated by the Holy Spirit and the light of the Word, so that we do not falter in front of the shadow of darkness. And to that end, we constantly have to meditate on God's words. How great of a blessing is it to be granted with God's words? If God had not granted His words upon us, we would already have become the children of darkness. And what about our past and the way that we have walked thus far? We're only here now because God was the lamp for my feet and the light on my path. And this should be the same way forward for our future as well. We need to turn our feet towards the shining light of the Word, and we need to follow through God's mission, or essentially the mission of light. The mission of the light is for us to become the light of the world and the Word to illuminate those living in darkness, to turn them away from darkness and guide them back to God, who is the sole source of light, via the light in us. Today, there are too many parts in the world encroached in darkness. There are those who are in the darkness of sorrow from a broken heart, just like the lyrics in It's a Heartbreak mentioned earlier. There are those in darkness of poverty due to the failing economy under the rampant spread of COVID virus. There are those who are in the darkness of relationships due to failure of inner maturity. A lot of people are living in darkness for various reasons in various forms. In order to light up this darkness, we, who are blessed with the Holy Spirit, need to become the light of the world and the Word. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 testifies, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Shining light upon others essentially means showing good deeds to others. If we live according to the Word, then this will become the good deed in turn, which will shine light to those living in the darkness. Therefore, let us walk in the footsteps of the path illuminated by the light of the Word. Just like how the lamp of the sanctuary should not be put out every single day, let us, as those who are blessed with the Holy Spirit, be supplied with the fuel of the Word, so that the light of the Word stays alive every single day. And let us shine a bright light upon the darkness of this world. Let us pray. Dear Father God, when you created this world with your Word, Jesus, who was with God the Father, came down to this world and has shed light upon those dominated by darkness, thereby conquering death and granting us eternal life. Let us, as disciples of the Lord and the body of the church, to not forget the mission granted upon us, which is to become the light of the world. Let us give thanks that while Jesus now sits on the right hand of God the Father, he still shines the light of the Word upon us, and the Holy Spirit has reigned in us to this day, and that we are able to walk the way of God through your guidance and your light. As Christians who are blessed with your presence in us, let us fully bear the mission of becoming the light to shine the darkness with God's light as Christians. Let us, to that end, meditate upon your words every day so that we are fueled with them, and also grant upon us the goodness of the Lord to relentlessly walk the way where your light shines. And we all pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.